Emmanuel. And we'll sing one more, number one, I exalt thee. And that's why we're here, to worship and exalt Jesus, our King, and God as our Father. Good morning. Good to see everyone here, and special welcome, a happy welcome on our first Sunday of Advent. It looks beautiful here, doesn't it? The tree and the lights, and we have some poinsettias so far, so thanks for those that have brought them and shared them with us in memory of loved ones. We'll get that list in the bulletin in the next week or two anyway. You can still have one here, if you so desire. Couple announcements, as usual, for me to go over before we go on with our worship service. Soup Kitchen is this coming Saturday. Wow, just hard to believe, isn't it? But it is December 4th. Praise the Lord, we get to have it. Last year we didn't. This year we do. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. Just remember what you signed up for. The items, there's also the bake sale that the high school youth group has, so parents of that, did the kids get signed up for Times to Work? Or? Yeah, okay, thank you. Parents of youth, remember to bring items for that, and anyone can as far as that goes, just helps the youth out. So the floor buffer, the old floor buffer that we don't use anymore because we have the new floor, that's... If there's a silent auction sheet, buy it there in the social hall against the west wall. Today's your last day on that. There is one bid so far, so if you want a chance at it, today after church is that opportunity. Let me see. The only other thing that I'm going to mention is the Meals on Wheels. Our church is delivering those here in town during the month of December. At least before church, there were still four open days on there. So if, and it really is a blessing and a joy to do. If you're able, take a look at that after church so we can get that filled out, because Wednesday is December 1st already. The rest of the announcements, please read. as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day, an exciting day. As we come and we see the tree with the lights and decorations on it, as we see the poinsettias here and the other decorations, all pointing to you, Jesus, and all for your glory. Not to worship these things by any means, but we know, Jesus, you are the light of the world. You declared it in your word, and we know that you are the light of the world. You stepped down into darkness when you were born in Bethlehem, and you have showed us the way, and we thank you for that. Father, for this day, such a beautiful weather weekend you've given us, mild temperatures, and Lord, I just especially want to say thank you for such an incredible sunrise this morning. The colors were absolutely amazing. The beauty of your creation is truly incredible, Lord, as you present and paint all those colors in the sky for us to enjoy. And so we're here in this season of Advent, an exciting time as we celebrate our Lord and Savior, your birth, your life, everything about you, as we anxiously look forward to your second coming. We ask you to fill this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness and your power today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Advent reading, I'm having the eighth graders do it this year. Although Brockton was not feeling well this morning, so it's going to be Ryland Derby and Carter Fishers filling in. So if you guys want to come up and do that for us, please.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, a time for celebrating Christ's birth and a call to repentance and holy living as we anxiously await his second coming.
Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 27. But in those days, following the distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see Son of Man coming in the clouds, with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from our four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens.
We light this candle to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We light this candle in anticipation of the day when we will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus brought hope into our world. Through the good news of the gospel, you are bringing hope to people of all nations. Help us live holy lives before you as we expectantly await for the second coming of Jesus. Christ, our Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Carter and Ryland. We appreciate that. And thanks to the Christian Ed Committee and those others that helped, by the way, on Wednesday night to put up the tree. Our opening hymn is number 245, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's stand as we sing this. 245.
Thank you.
beautiful singing. We'll take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you are seated. See you guys. Morning. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys, concerns here this morning. Some things that I have down that I will share. First, prayers for Elton Herbold. He had a surgery on Monday and went good, but then I guess, what would you say, some problems. So was taken back to the emergency room Friday evening and was admitted. Seems to be doing some better this morning. So not sure when he'll come home, but be praying for Elton and Myrna both during this time. Also continued prayers for Pat Palmerville. She is on oxygen, and she's been having this issue with fluid in the lungs. They've drained it once or twice there. She has an appointment this weekend to see what else they might do. Also, Steve Pressler has a heart procedure tomorrow up at Sioux Falls, so prayers for him, for that to go well. Continued prayers for our nephew Aaron out in Arizona. He was in a bad motorcycle accident a week and a half ago. He has been unconscious, unresponsive since then. As far as maybe unconscious, he has responded to a couple of the doctor's requests with fingers, toes, but as far as actually opening his eyes that way, he hasn't. They had to cut the skull from the swelling on the brain. It was a serious head injury, so we appreciate your prayers. James Rankin, so maybe some of you in my age group-ish, you knew Mr. Rankin as a teacher in school and football coach. His son James had lived here in town for a lot of years, right across from Jim and Donna Sattler, and he had passed away on Thanksgiving Day. So probably, it's about 50, did we find out-ish, somewhere in there age-wise. So don't know any service details or anything like that, but I did get an address for his parents, Jerry and Jackie Rankin. It's out there on the information cabinet if you'd like to send a card. So I'll take some other requests here in a second, but I want Logan Schmidt to come up here. Can you, Logan, please? So Logan is heading off to the Navy, basic training in the Navy tomorrow. And yeah, praise the Lord. If you were here last Sunday, you know he got his prayer answered too on the football game of Nebraska versus Iowa. And I did not pray for that, for Iowa. They were at the game, and I was too with my twin brother. And I was just sort of pleading with the Lord. But I guess your prayers worked.
Nope.
So I want to pray for Logan, though. It's so awesome. All of our active service men and women and the church, and what a blessing. So let's pray for Logan. Heavenly Father, thank you for this young man. As we've watched him grow through his younger years, through high school, and now, as you've called him to go into the Navy, and how exciting that is, Lord God. I ask your blessing upon him as he goes tomorrow and the basic training and all that that will involve, and then for your plans for him thereafter. We ask for strength to do what he's called to do in serving our nation so honorably. We thank you for your hand of protection upon him and the many others that serve full-time and also in the guards in various ways. From our own church, we have so many, and we're blessed by that. And all of our troops, we just thank you for guarding and keeping them each step of the way and giving your angels charge over them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Logan.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's see ya. Okay. Tears of joy. Right? Yes. Anything else on this side over here? Okay, Tricia first. Matt Fisher has a birthday coming this coming Saturday. All right, happy birthday, Matt. Okay. Kaylee Derby. Who's? Taylor Fryer's birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Taylor. Must be about 17, I would guess. No? Taylor's going to be just 15. Sorry, I guess I'm thinking of Morgan. Okay, we won't rush things. Joni. Okay, thank you. Prayers for Joni Hundle's dad. Ed Sedlacek is having another back surgery at Mayo Clinic this Thursday. He's had a few, I don't know how many. So, yeah, prayers for him and you as you are with him and whoever else. Okay, over here. Okay, good to have Calvin's daughter Nancy and family here from Hermosa. God bless you. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all these requests and joys of birthdays, surgeries. I don't know that there's such a joy, but we lift these up to you, Ed Sedlacek, as his is Thursday on his back. Thank you for going before him in this. Steve Pressler, as his is tomorrow up in Sioux Falls, regarding his heart. Lord, we thank you. As always, we pray for the doctors and thank you for the wisdom that you give to medical science. It's truly incredible. It is all from you and you alone. And then your power, your supernatural power that is greater than all, to work in these individuals through these times. Thank you for being with them. We pray for Elton Herbolt after a pretty tough day yesterday. We thank you that things have settled down, and we pray that the healing continues in a good, strong way. So be with him and Myrna there and the family at the hospital. For Pat Palmerville and Lee, we continue to lift them up. The struggles that Pat is having right now with her lungs, and we just pray for wisdom and guidance there and healing for what is the next plan to do. Lord, for our nephew Aaron, we lift him up to you and his family and just thank you, Father, for your power that is at work within his physical body. Lord, for the family of James Rankin at his passing on Thanksgiving Day, be with his parents and his two brothers and other family and neighbors, Jim and Donna and Galen and Linda Guth-Miller, as they looked after him so much of the time here in town. Thank you for just being with all of these and ministering your comfort as you do so very well. Lord, for other family that's here traveling over the Thanksgiving weekend and maybe some of our own that are traveling back home, just be with them. And we do pray for our nation, Lord. We daily lift up this nation, and we know that you hear our prayers, every one of them, for healing to this land, for revival, for a great awakening, for hearts and minds to be open to you, Jesus, and knowing that you are Lord of all and Lord of heaven and earth. Father, we ask that, and we thank you by faith for the work you are doing in many ways behind the scenes, by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:16, we all know that, right? Why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please. And Father, we do have so much to praise you for. As we sang that chorus earlier, give thanks with a grateful heart. And we do. Number one, Lord, we say, as Scripture says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And Father, we know that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all, we say thank you for all that you give to us, our salvation, and so many blessings far beyond that. We give our lives to you, Lord, as we present our bodies before you today as living sacrifices. We ask that you would live through us and shine brightly through us each and every day. As we give our offerings and our tithes, Father, we give in faith, thanking you for your blessings. For everything we have is yours. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of what you provide for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Come on up. Come on up. There's chairs or steps right over there. Yep. Come on up, everybody. Wow, it's great to see everyone. Are you excited about the practice today? Yeah. All right. We are too. Well, I got a couple of pictures to show you to see if you know who this person would be called. What would she be called? A Girl Scout, right? Are any of you a Girl Scout or a Brownie? Or, you know, you don't hear about it so much sometimes, but when I was a little girl, I was a Brownie and I was a Girl Scout. And it was a really neat club, and we did different things, and we earned badges and things. So that's a Girl Scout. Do you know what the Girl Scout motto is? Get ready. Be prepared. What is it? Be prepared. The Girl Scouts, a Girl Scout is ready to help out wherever she is needed. Is that pretty cool? That's their motto. Now, what about this? I couldn't actually find a boy, but this is what the boys wear. What are they called that wear this? Boy Scout. Any of you a Boy Scout? Nope. Maybe, I think it's bigger in the bigger cities. We do different things here that maybe other 4-H clubs you're in and all different things. But a Boy Scout, his motto is the same as the girls. So what's the Boy Scouts' motto? Be prepared. Yes, and they also get to do a lot of different things and earn badges and be a part. Their motto, be prepared, means that they are going to do whatever is necessary to help others. That's pretty neat too, isn't it? Be prepared. Well, do you know what? We have just started a new season. It's called Advent. And an Advent is a time when we're preparing to celebrate whose birthday? Jesus, we are. It's the beginning of that. As you see, our trees are up and decorations are up, and we're going to prepare and everything for that. But also, it's also a time when we are waiting for Jesus to come back again. Do you know it says in the Bible that he's going to come back again? He's going to come back on earth, and he's going to be king of everyone. And everyone is going to bow down to him. That's a time that's going to really happen. And so in Advent, we're waiting for two things, waiting to celebrate Jesus' birthday and waiting for him to come again. But do we know when he's coming? No, we don't know when he's coming. So what should we do? We should do like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. We should be prepared. Yeah, and it says here in Matthew, verse 24. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples all about what's going to happen in these end times and before he comes. But then he says in verse 42, therefore, keep watch. Be prepared, because you don't know on what day or what time the Lord will come. So we don't know. So we need to what? Be prepared. How can we be prepared for Jesus coming back? Read the Bible. Do we just read it because we have to read it, or do we read it because we want to learn more about God? Yeah, we want to get closer to Jesus, and we want to know what things we should do to be prepared. Tells us everything in here. What are some things that we can do as boys and girls every day to be prepared? Help mom and dad. That's right. Be good helpers. Be kind to others. Listen to your parents. Play good. Take turns. All of these things. Read the Bible. Don't fight. Share. All of these are wonderful things we can do. Last one. Be like Jesus, right? Be kind like Jesus. Love others. And above all, love God. So we know all of these things we're going to do. We just got to do them, right? Do you think you can do them this week? All these things we said? Me too. I think you can, and I'm going to do those too. Okay? All right. Be prepared. Let's pray. Father God, we're so excited about this season and all the boys and girls here and the decorations up. And as we are looking forward to celebrating your birthday, we are also looking forward to your returning here on earth. And we are very excited about that day. So we want to do what your word tells us to do it. Keep watch, be prepared. Help us all, boys and girls, adults, teens, to be prepared in our lives, to be seeking you every single day, even more and more, to love you with all of our heart, and to love others. Help these boys and girls, Lord, to be a light, a shining light for you wherever they go, at home or at the daycare or at school. Help them to shine you so that other boys and girls will know that they love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers now.
Okay, thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 244, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Father, yes, this is our prayer. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. As Revelation ends, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we wait for that day with excitement. We look forward to that time. Your word speaks of it. Jesus, you told about it so many times when you walked on this earth. And so thank you for your word as we look into just a small part of that today, that you would stir this within our hearts, that you would speak to us by your Spirit, and help us to always be ready for that time. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by the Spirit of the living God to those gathered here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are going to be in Matthew chapter 24 here this morning. You'll guess probably pretty quickly the Advent theme this year is going to be on the second coming of Christ. Because Advent is about both. Most years, yes, we focus on his birth, and we still want to, obviously. We celebrate his birth. But we need to focus on his second coming as well. That is just as important. So Matthew 24, when I start reading here in verse 36, this is actually during what we would call Holy Week. Chapter 21 of Matthew is the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. This, what I'm going to read, would be on Tuesday of that week. So the cross is just 3 days away, Friday, for Jesus. When he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, giving this, the Olivet Discourse is what it's called. Verse 36, Matthew 24. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Amen. And then it goes on more, but that's, you can read the chapter later today as you have time. So Advent, I think we all know this. If you're filling in your outline, the word Advent, it literally means the coming or the arrival of. The coming or the arrival of. So we celebrate this season. The first Advent, yeah, was the first coming of Christ. What we're waiting for is the second Advent of Christ. So God started celebrations all the way back in the Old Testament as a way for his people to remember events, very important events, miracles that he had done. The Passover, for example, as he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He told them, on this day, this is going to be the first month of your year, and this certain day you celebrate this every year. Because he wanted them to remember. And there's several other Old Testament feasts that God instituted. And so we come to today, we celebrate the season of Advent. That's why we have the seasons of the church year. So Advent is the first one, which would make sense. We're coming to the birth of Christ. Advent, confirmation kids learn this, right? Advent, Christmas, we know that. Christmas isn't just a day, it's 12 days. Hence why the song was made, the 12 days of Christmas. Then Epiphany, that's the coming of the wise men, Then we come into Lent. Then we come to Easter. Then we come to Pentecost, which takes us all the way back to today, the first Sunday of Advent. And Pentecost is the longest season of the church year. What, 26 or 27 Sundays in that season? So it's all God's plan to keep the church today, to keep us all these things in our minds, that we honor them, that we honor Jesus above all. So in Matthew chapter 24, there are four times in these verses I read this morning, four times in just those eight, nine verses, where Jesus says to the disciples and to us, you do not know, you won't know the day or the hour of his second coming. Four times. He's trying to make sure you get it. And if you'd read chapter 25, you see where he says it again. The very same thing. Verse 36, no one knows about that day or hour. Verse 42, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44, you got to be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Verse 50, the master of the servant will come, talking about Jesus, on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he's not aware of. That's very clear. Can't get any clearer than that. He tells us what we won't know about that coming, very simply, the day or the hour. He tells us what we will know, which is what we're going to get into, as it was in the days of Noah. So, we should all know, I hope, but I'm going to say it. It's when you get into the cult, C-U-L-T, cult groups, is often where you see false prophets arise, false messiahs arising, people claiming to know when Jesus is going to return. But I'm telling you, do not go for that. Do not fall for that. It's the same as the scam artists on the phone and all that they do, and we're warned about. And they're so sneaky and so tricky. Don't fall for it. I go back to, this was when I was in high school, 1978, when this guy Jim Jones, this cult leader in California, got this following, claiming himself to be the Messiah, the chosen one, and actually led almost 1,000 people. Can you imagine? They moved down to Latin America, those countries, to that little country of Guyana, to set up camp in the jungle there. And finally, the relatives of the people down there, it was almost 1,000 people. They started calling their congressmen and senators. Remember, the one guy from California, I think it was, flew down there to check it out with some people. He ended up losing his life over it. And Jim Jones gets all his followers to drink that poison Kool-Aid that was laced with cyanide. And they all did it. By the time the authorities got into the jungle where they were, there were over 900 of them laying there dead. So Jesus is saying, as clear as he can say it, you will not know the day or the hour. Can we know the season? Yeah, we can know. Of course it's getting closer. Every day is a day closer. But we watch the signs of the times. So, three questions here as we're getting into this with the outline. Number one, because he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Number one is, so how was it in the days of Noah? How was it? Well, oddly enough, we just looked at Noah back in July in our study through Hebrews chapter 11. We spent a week or two on him alone. How was it in the days of Noah? Because Jesus said in verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Everything just going on. Listen to the New Living of that phrase there. The people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered the ark. Up, and let me go back to NIV there. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, what we are waiting for. That's how it will be. Okay, the days of Noah here, letter A. So I just want to go back to Genesis 6 for a little bit on this part. What did God say to Noah about that time? Genesis 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. Next verse, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. That's getting pretty bad. Verse 11 and 12, now the earth had become corrupt in God's sight, and it was filled with violence. That word violence in that word in the Hebrew is talking about the abuse of people, of one another. God observed all this corruption in the world, and he saw the violence and the depravity everywhere. It was bad. The sin, the evil was chronic. We know physically when something, if you're having chronic pain, it is constant, isn't it? Just on and on. But I think there are a lot of great things happening. I don't want to take away from that, okay? But yet, I have to say this too. I guess we have to be ignorant to think that the culture is not going rapidly away from God. And that sin is being celebrated all the more, all the time, publicly, without shame, without embarrassment. And for me not to say that, maybe you don't like to hear it, for me not to say it, I'm doing a disservice as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have to say these things. It is. I mean, my goodness. Dr. John Barnett, who we've listened to a lot through the men's group, he made a statement. I wrote it down. He said this, God intervenes in nations when they become so corrupt. Now, that could be two ways. My prayer is for God, always you hear it, to intervene with an outpouring of his Spirit to bring revival to this land, changing hearts. The other option of the intervention is judgment, as we saw with the flood. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So on that, you might think, well, I guess we ought to expect what's happening if his return is getting closer. And I suppose in a way, yes, but does that mean we don't do anything? No, we do all the more. We be all the more concerned about the lost and proclaiming the word of God, the truth of his word, and reaching out to people who don't know Jesus. The sins, I mean, we could go on and on. The sexual immorality, murders, we hear it all the time. I'll say this, you've heard me say it before, the gun is not the issue. It's the people's state of mind and the heart. That's the issue with all of this stuff going on. You just never hear that being said. It needs to be said. The sin of abortion, and I say it often, it just grieves my heart horribly. It goes back, you look at the Old Testament, the false idol worship, and could they do abortions then? No, they didn't have the technology. So they waited till the babies were born. They'd throw them into the fire in worship of their false gods. And what is it different that we're doing today in regard to that sin? God is blessed with the technology to look into the womb in all incredible ways. And yet, that technology is also used to rip the infant out of the womb. Now, if there's someone here maybe who's had an abortion, or maybe you know someone who has had, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is. So I'm not bringing condemnation in that way. But that so doesn't mean it's all right. But the murders that took place in Scotland just 2 weeks ago and the gun, so what if we were related to that man then that took those lives, do we say, well, he's my cousin, so I guess it's all right. Would that make any sense? It makes no sense whatsoever. So, God help us. When we were in Israel, one day we were at Caesarea Philippi, place where Jesus, the amazing part of this was there was also a false idol worship set up there, the Temple of Pan, P-A-N, which was the body of a goat, the head of a man, but the goat horns coming up off the head. And they had still carved in stone. There's not actual idol worship today, but all the carvings are still in the side of this cliff, in the rock, of where they would worship. And on the left side of these carvings, there's a big cave in the rock. And in the day, it was full of water, and who knows how deep it went in. That's where they threw the babies into the water to worship that false god. And you know what they called that cave? The gate of hell. And you know what statement Jesus made right there at that place? When he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they answered different things. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. He sort of goes on and he says, your name is Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, not on Peter, but on the revelation that came. I'll build my church, and what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's what took place right there, right there. All right. So, got to see where I'm at here. Number two, that's where I'm at. So what did Noah do? First, how was it in the days of Noah? Second, so what did he do? This would get to what can we do, what we should do. Well, letter A, he obeyed. He obeyed and built that ark. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Incredible. Genesis 6, again, it says Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Genesis 7, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. What? Noah did not join in with the sin that was all around him. He didn't. He stood firm. He stood his ground. He was the light to the world. That's what he did. He didn't say, well, I guess if you can't beat him, you might as well join him. He didn't say, well, everyone else is doing it, so let's just do it too. No, he didn't. Letter B there, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter tells us that about him. He lived it before him. He told them, listen, for 100 years, you know the account. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. God's going to send a flood to destroy the world. Oh, you crazy old man. Well, maybe he started out as a younger man, but after 100 years, you crazy old man, it hasn't even rained. What's rain? They didn't know, hardly. God's going to destroy the earth with a flood. No one believed, but he kept at it. It's hard to do, isn't it? When you feel like you're going against the current. But God spared him, his three sons, and their wives, didn't he? So, the first coming of Christ, expectancy was high. I went into that some last Sunday. It was. I talked about different examples of it. So the second coming of Christ, the expectancy should be high, and I believe it is. If you listen to some of the ministers on TV, radio, you're hearing it more and more. It's time, it's getting close. But the people of Noah's day, they didn't care. They ignored it, didn't think it was going to happen. Same today, in large part, verse 24 of Matthew, verse 40, Jesus says, look, this is another deal how it's going to be. Two men are going to be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women are going to be grinding a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Here in the middle of this teaching about his second coming, there are these two verses, guess what? About what we call the rapture of the church. That's what that is right there. One's going to be taken, one left. That the rapture. People say, that word's not in the Bible. Very true. But the examples of it are right here. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Jesus or Paul talking about the second coming and those events. Listen to what he says. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. That's what the word rapture means. To be caught up. We'll be caught up together with them, the other believers who've died and are being resurrected in their new glorified bodies. We'll be caught up together with them where? On the Mount of Olives? No, because that's the second coming. The Mount of Olives, when Jesus comes and stands in the Mount of Olives, that's the second coming. No, we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. 7 years before his second coming. Okay? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The 7 years in between, you better hope you are not here. You think things are getting rough in different ways. Now this is nothing. Nothing compared to what that 7 years of tribulation will be on this planet. It will be horror, I'm telling you. Will people still be able to call out to Jesus in that 7 years? Yes. Probably lose their head in the process. Very likely beheaded. It can happen, but once that 7 years is done and the second coming comes, then there is no other chance. There is no other chance. That's why we have to be ready. Always, always. So if you believe in the birth of Christ, then you have to believe in the second coming of Christ. Why wouldn't you? I pray that we all do. Number three, what should we be doing? So how was it in the days of Noah? Second, what did Noah do? Third, what should we be doing? Simple, got to keep watch and be ready. Verse 42 of Matthew 24. Therefore, keep watch. Ourselves, our lives, our actions. Are we going to be perfect? No, we're not. None of us are. Keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. Well, you might be thinking, well, now, yeah, we got these game cams, you got these, what I see the advertisements on TV of these farm cams, whatever, I can't think of the term, that organization to put up at your farm. Yeah, good idea. You can see probably who came and when and what happened, but you might still not know the person. Then he goes on, so you must also be ready because the Son of Man will come. Doesn't say might come or may come. It says he will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We got to be ready. It's just simple to do. Live every day for Jesus as best as you can, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Did our nephew know here, 2 weeks ago in that motorcycle accident? He was just going home from work like any other day. We're praying that he will be able to regain consciousness. It's been a week and a half ago. Nothing in that time. And I realize things take time with these severe head injuries. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Not a one of us. When that last breath will be. We think we do. We think we're going to live our lives. You know what? We have to live every day as if today were our last. We have to plan for every day and those following as if we're going to live out our lives to the full. You got to have that attitude of both. I remember when I was going to college at that time and hearing teaching about the second coming, it wasn't anything to the level that it is now. But certainly, you know, I was learning about it, and I, especially after I started college and pharmacy, and and I'm like, I think, well, man, Lord, you know, if you're coming back in just a few years, why do I have to be doing all this? Hours of studying for these semester tests, right? You college ones that are here on break. Sitting in that library for 8-hour stretches at a time. And you know what bugged me the most? This has nothing to do with the sermon. Just a thought, I'll tell you. I'd get that booth in that library up at SDSU in the back corner where it could be as quiet as possible. Oh, never fail. Here'd come, usually it was a young lady, could have been a guy, usually it was a lady, sit in a booth nearby, popping their gum. That drove me crazy. I could not study. Finally, I'd get up, go to a different booth. That's just me. I have to have quiet. So, whatever. I know. Live every day as if today was your last. So young people, don't get the attitude, why should I go on then if he's coming so soon? We don't know. We don't know. So you plan as if you're going to live your life out to the fullest. And letter B, you look for opportunities to share your faith. However it is, look for those opportunities. We have to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this season of Advent, there were those in the first coming before who were anxiously looking and waiting, watching, and they were ready. Lord, but we clearly know most were not. So now, help us to always be ready in our lives. Yes, forgive us of our sin. Stir our hearts. Fan the flame within by your Spirit. If there's areas of conviction that we need, we all do, then show us. If there's adjustments we need to make, then show us and help us to do so. Lord, let our light shine brightly. Thank you for this congregation. For everyone who's here today and many that aren't, but just shine brightly through us. Help us, Father, to be the life-saving station that you have called us to be. That when people see us imperfect as we are, that they yet could see you, Jesus, as the light of the world. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing O Holy Night. I know it's not Christmas Eve. Really, we normally, if that's done, it's done as a special. And I thought, well, we never really get to sing this hardly as a congregation. Such a beautiful song. So let's stand together, 285, and we'll sing this. Save us. Amen. Such a beautiful song. That, I know the timing is a little different in there than how we hear it, but that's how it's written. Still, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah, God bless you. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let me please have a prayer for the meal, for the kids and the helpers for the program. Heavenly Father, we thank you now also on this day. We get to start the practice for our Christmas Eve service. What a glorious night that is. Lord, thank you for these that are directing and all the teachers helping with parts and classes and music. Thank you for the ladies coordinating the lunch. We just thank you for all these volunteers that it takes for this to happen. So bless this food, we ask, to the nourishment and strength of our bodies today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I believe practice should be over by 1:30. Is Katie somewhere? I don't see you. Is that correct? 1:30. Okay, so that you know, parents, please work on the parts with your kids, all right? It just helps it all to go better here. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music.